Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday are rambling about those Los Angeles Rams. Ramble on. Hi, how are you? Welcome to another episode of Ramblings with Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. I am Doc Holliday. Isaac, what's up, man? How you doing, dog?
Hey, what's going on, Doc? Man, I'm doing well, man. Great Monday. Awesome Monday. It's the November the 1st, 2021. I'm excited about the first of the month, man. I remember back in the day, Doc, I used to hate the first of the month. But now, I'm excited about the first of the month for many reasons. And one that, you know, that helps me financially, but I'm excited about the first of the month, man.
Hold on, but first of all, why you used to hate the first of the month?
Well, normally because we had the negative mindset of, you know, rent's got to go out. We got to pay this on Monday night. I mean, on the first of the month, of the month, yeah, this guy. But now it's reversed, and it all started with a mindset change, Doc, now we can enjoy the first of the month. Because we have this coming in. We expect this and expecting miracles. All reverse that thinking and shifted that first of the month for me, man.
Okay, I got you. All praises to the Most High. But speaking of the first of the month, the last day of the month, October, our Rams. Yeah, dog. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. I mean, that ain't all I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say right now. Yeah, dog. We look like legitimate Super Bowl contenders now, bro. This is probably the most impressive win this season to me, even though this was a trash-ass team. But the way we handle business, going on the road and totally destroying the Houston Texans, getting off to a fast start, bro, I think we were up 24-0 at halftime, 38-0 at the end of three quarters, winning 38-22 by Isaac. Our Rams improved to 7-1. With a very, very dominant and impressive win at Houston against those Texans, man.
Impressive win, no doubt, Doc. I mean, just really coming in and taking care of business, man. We talked about the way we have to approach this game, being professional. Coach McVay had some words about last week's game, how we kind of came out slow and really was playing to the level of our competition, man. And that's something that you don't want to get trapped into in the National Football League. So for the Rams to come out and really establish who we are as a football team on the road with another early start time for our Rams, as far as the body clock is concerned, and really just start putting points on the board from the running game, from our screen attack, getting Darrell Henderson Jr. off to the run, forcing that run down the throat of these Houston Texans. And one thing I can say, Doc, I mean, this could have been another one of those trap games, because the Houston Texans aren't as bad as a lot of people say. I mean, they've really pushed the limit versus some good teams in this league. I'm thinking about New England when they played them. It was a last-minute win by the Patriots going against them. But once again, these teams and these guys are on scholarship as well. Lovie Smith is galvanizing these guys on their defense, getting these guys to play a better brand of football. But the Rams coming out, another great game by Matthew Stafford, another great performance by Cooper Kupp, and these other guys getting involved. Man, we see the evolution once again of a Van Jefferson, Doc. And I think he's going to be one of those guys that's going to play a huge role for us down the road, with this being a 17-game season. And that team as a whole, man, we're doing a great job on offense, defense, and better on special teams this week.
Now, you're speaking of, real quickly on Lovie Smith. He has been galvanizing. He didn't galvanize that ass on Sunday, though, because we whooped that ass. And before we talk about how well Matthew Stafford played once again and Cooper Kupp, I want to go back to who you just said. You're right, man. Van Jefferson has really stepped up this season. He had a scare yesterday with his knee, but they say he's going to be okay. But he struck him deep. Van has really improved in year two, and he stepped up to where he is that number three receiver, and it's almost kind of making DeSean Jackson null and void. But we got DeSean if we need him. But the fact that Van Jefferson has stepped up and playing what playing how we expected him to play. Just talk about his maturation and his evolution, because he's even now he's even a better route runner. It just seems like he knows how to play the receiver position in the NFL now.
Well, we're going to need that from him, Doc. I mean, because when you look at Cooper Kupp, you look at Robert Woods, these guys are our slot weapons. They never really venture outside the numbers too much. So just to have the ability to open up the playbook completely, you need a guy like Van Jefferson who can take the top off the defense. So he's learning to be an efficient wide receiver from the outside. And it's so important that you be able to be to do both. You can learn what you need to learn from a Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods as far as, you know, winning via the slot. But when it comes down to it, man, you got to be able to stretch these defenses, man. Be able to take your shots down the field. And he's starting to be that guy that we need to do that. So he comes from a great legacy of his father playing in the league over 13 seasons and being able to be at Florida and learn what he learned there. But I believe that's just being around Sean McVay, being around Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and DeSean Jackson, teaching this guy how to be a professional, how to get open, the angles that are required as far as being open in the National Football League. He's doing it, man, and it's happening right before us, man.
Yes, it is, man. And you can tell that Van Jefferson is he's earning the respect and confidence in Matthew Stafford even more, because he had the second most targets. He got targeted 6 times. Cooper Kupp got targeted 9 times, and Robert Woods got targeted 9 times. We can keep saying what we say about Cooper Kupp, man. Now, Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford probably, you know, aside from Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams, man, this is probably the most dangerous quarterback wide receiver combination. Stafford finishing once again, amazing day, 21 to 32, 305 yards, 3 touchdowns. Most importantly, no picks. Even most importantly, no sacks. We're going to talk about how well that offensive line played as well. But Cooper Kupp, another outstanding game. 7 catches, 115 yards, 1 touchdown. His longest was 52 yards. But that was also almost like a catch and a run. He gets gone. Just this combination, still impressive to you how well Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford, I call Cooper Kupp the dinner guest, still impressive to you how they have gelled and the chemistry between these two?
Doc, it's very impressive because we've seen it now. We're 7-1 for 8 weeks. So that means these defensive coordinators that are coming to town and we go visit them, they see it as well. But the production level has not been stopped at all. It's still increasing. So I'm loving that combination, man. Hopefully it gets greater than what it is. But here's the thing about Matthew Stafford, man, how he affects who the Rams are as a team. You mentioned not turning the ball over via interception. That's wonderful, Doc. I mean, how long has it been since we've been able to, you know, been watching these Rams and not really turn the football over via strip sack or just giving the other team, throwing it to the other team? Mm-hmm. And another thing, he's helping that offensive line by getting rid of the football, not taking sacks, not putting pressure on them, being where he's supposed to be in the pocket when it calls for a pocket pass. Matthew Stafford is doing everything that we've asked him to do and some. He's outperformed the expectation that we wanted from him when he brought it from Detroit. So he's having an awesome season. Doc, already 21 touchdown passes, 8 weeks. I don't think that's happened for him ever. And I don't think it happened for the Los Angeles Rams franchise as a whole, man.
Seriously, man, I'm calling him Stafford Scissorhands, man, because he's just slicing cats. I mean, he's just slicing up defenses. And you said it, you hit the nail on the head. He gets rid of the rock so quickly, and he's so precise and so accurate, and he knows exactly where he wants to go with the ball and the velocity and the accuracy and all of that, man. Just extremely impressive. But the young royal, man, toting that pill, D. Hendo. Hey, D. Hendo shows some explosiveness and some quickness that I was kind of pointing the finger at D. Hendo, like I was kind of doubting, but the offensive line made some huge holes. Yeah. Not only that, making the holes, you still got to get through them, because we know in the NFL, those holes open and close extremely fast. But D. Hendo, 14 carries, 90 yards, 1 rushing touchdown. He also caught a touchdown. D. Hendo, hey, I'm loving what we've seen from him the last couple of weeks, Isaac.
Doc, you mentioned the offensive line play as far as protecting Matthew Stafford. Every offensive lineman I've ever been around, they want to run the football. I mean, that's just a mano-a-mano type deal of running the football. And Darrell Henderson is back there reaping the benefits of it. So what I do see from Daryl is that he's starting to finish runs now.
Yes.
He's finishing the runs. You know this as being a running back. And he's also finishing drives like we talked about, man. That's a conditioning state where I feel like, you know, once you start a drive as being the starting running back on the field, you should be that running back, you know, going over the top in the end zone or catching a short pass out of the backfield to finish the drive. So those two things I see from Daryl Henderson, man, is really, really positive for our running game. And I think it increases from there.
Yeah, you're right, man. And not only speaking of that rushing touchdown, which he kind of walked in because, you know, it was a huge hole, but even at huge hole, he finished off that first drive with that receiving touchdown. That nice little, I like to call it an arrow route. They call it in the flat, but it's really like an arrow route. He just shot straight, you know, toward the end zone, and the linebacker got kind of tangled up with the DB like they didn't know what the hell was going on, and that's all you need is a split second to get an advantage on the linebacker, and he did that and caught the rock, and just Daryl Henderson putting together another great performance. And even speaking of that offensive line, once again, you like offensive linemen, they love run blocking because they love to go mano-a-mano, like you said, smack a bitch in the face, smack him in the forehead, and that's exactly what they were doing, but they protected Matthew Stafford. But D. Hendo, I'm going to give him all the credit for hitting them holes, but hey, man, this offensive line, we have to prop them up because they absolutely controlled that Houston, Texas defensive line so much that I don't even know who the hell plays on the Texans defensive line because they just totally took them cats out the ballgame.
Well, Doc, with everything, you want to go inside out, and it always starts with that offensive line play, man. Everything that we do as a team, being able to take our shots down the field, being able to run the football, your four-minute offenses, and you want to ice a game. And when you take Matthew Stafford out of the game and put in Wofford, our backup, it's all about what you can do and the way that you can control the line of scrimmage. And we've been doing a great job of it, Doc. Let's be real, man. I think we've had the same combination of starters since our first game of the year versus the Chicago Bears. We got that same unit, and that's important. Doc. Guys are staying off the ground. Their legs aren't getting tangled up in the pile, and we're moving guys off the ball. So there'll be another big test this weekend, man. You got two great teams coming in to SoFi Stadium, and hopefully we can continue to push this defensive line around, man, and make plays via our running game.
Now, speaking of our defensive line, just straight dominant, bro. You know, yeah. Aaron Donald once again did what he did, of 1.5 sacks. But I think Leonard Floyd, man, I think he had a couple of – hey, this defense now, even though they can't – Texans come into the ball game 1-6, still an NFL squad. But our defense totally shut them down and shut them out. We up, what, 38-0 at the end of the three quarters, so you're able to take some starters out. Now, they ended up scoring 22 points, but I think at that point we had held them to like 100 yards or something, a total offense. Hey, man, what that defense did, and salute to Raheem Morris because he had those men ready to ball out on Sunday. Great game plan. They executed the great game plan. They were aggressive. Defensive line did their thing. The cornerbacks did their thing. And the rookie, Ernest Jones, we traded away Kenny Young to Denver because of Ernest Jones. And this is how you say, okay, y'all made the right decision, because he comes up with his first interception. But overall, Isaac, Raheem Morris and what he had that defense doing on Sunday, a huge salute to him as well, because, I mean, they just balled out, man.
Well, Doc, we're sitting here now, 4 weeks in a row, this defense is ascending, Doc. So you got your Aaron Donalds of the world. He affects everything, getting penetration. You have to double team him. That makes it that Leonard Floyd can be one-on-one on the outside, and he's getting a ton of pressures. Now, you add in a rookie, Ernest Jones, and it's funny, he's a third-round pick. I remember being drafted in 1994. We had an Ernest Jones who was drafted third-round pick out of Oregon to play with me. So it's funny how this is happening again. But for this young kid to get on the field, and I believe he got the game ball after the game, and have a performance like this, Doc, I mean, the energy and the excitement of your two stalwarts, the Jalen Ramsey, the Aaron Donald, the way they continue to play, and the way their infectious attitude as far as never stopping and getting after quarterback, playing wherever you got to play on the back end with Jalen Ramsey, is starting to affect other guys, man. And we're going to see it happen. We saw it happen 2 weeks ago with Taylor Rapp. He got two picks. So This week is Ernest Jones. Now we're seeing other guys starting to step up. And the young kid out of Alabama, the third-round pick for a couple of years ago, man. I think he's becoming a dominant pass rusher opposite of Leonard Floyd. So when you got that front seven combination getting after the quarterback, and Doc, it's not always about sacking the quarterback, but pressuring that quarterback, getting him off his spot, making him have to throw the football just that tick before he's really ready to release the football. Those things add up to tips, deflections, interceptions, and giving Matthew Stafford and those guys another opportunity to get back on the field.
Big facts. I think Ernest Jones probably gets the game ball, but not only because he got that pick, he played well, but then you make the GM like, okay, because he made a decision to get rid of a vet that was playing well, who's well-liked, and Kenny Young, and like, okay, we're going to replace him with this rookie. So you make Les Snead look like a genius that he made the right decision. So that, coupled that, all that with playing the way they played, man, I'm just, like I said, I'm just glad and happy and extremely impressed how we came out and did not play down to the competition. We played like the LA Rams are supposed to play. We played like some legitimate Super Bowl contenders when we go out there and dominate them to run our record to 7-1 now. And now, if I had anything to talk about now, the special teams, they did play well, but hey, we gave up onside kick. We got Washington and John Walford. Now, Walford, all right now, second time against some PT. I know you came in there in garbage time, but you didn't look too good. When you got in there earlier this season, you didn't look too good. So I ain't going to be on the negative, but we won. But we still need to know we can count on him if we need him. And I ain't seen that yet from him this season so far, Isaac.
Well, hopefully you won't have to see it, Doc. Absolutely. I mean, you know, with what the way our starter is playing. But, yeah, we can do and zip up and button up a whole lot of things more on from my special team standpoint, man. And just really, I mean, it just takes repetition and practice. I mean, as far as the onside kick, you know, hopefully we're in that position a lot more this season so we can have a lot more reps at it. But game action versus practice action is totally different. We just got to make sure we execute going further as we move down towards the season.
And real quickly, before we wrap it up, I want to ask you about the rookie, man. You know, a Tutu Atwell seemed to be a little uncomfortable. You know, Sean McVay said something about him that he need you need to have a more sense of urgency about him. He seems to be uncomfortable right now. I don't know if I can't say he lost his confidence, because I don't think he's ever gained it since he got to the NFL, and he's realizing this is a different game now. These are grown men out there. You know, this is a job, so I don't know what's going on with him, but he's still young. But I hope he can get it together, because right now he doesn't really seem comfortable in the NFL game.
Well, Doc, I mean, just knowing, you know, a little bit about his history, he's always been a small guy in stature. But his play, his ability to play this game has always superseded what he looked like physically. So hopefully he can get back to that. It doesn't look good right now. Let's just be honest. He's punt returning. I haven't seen him on the field as far as the wide receiver position is concerned since he's been there. So maybe this guy just needs a pep talk. He needs to boost himself up, encourage himself, however way he does that. But we need more out of him, man. He's a high round draft pick, Doc, and he's a pick that's ahead of Ernest Jones, actually. So, you know, we expected a lot from Tutu Atwell, and hopefully we can get him to that position. We're going to have to train him and make sure that he's confident. And I think a lot of it needs to be focused on his confidence, Doc. And once again, I go to the Elliott Perry comments that he made on your other show about that confidence level, man. No matter how big you are or small in stature you may look, if you add that ingredient called confidence, man, I think it'll take you a lot places where you'd like to go a lot sooner than you'd like to be there.
Yeah, Elliott Perry, Memphis legend, NBA veteran, you know, great interview I had on him, Doc Holliday Show, the Doc Holliday Show. You can look it up on YouTube, like and subscribe. But I think about Tutu Atwell, the good thing about it is that he's on a great squad, so we don't need him to step up right now. We want him to. Sean McVay wants him to, but they don't need him. So lucky for him, he doesn't have that pressure to come in to try to perform, but they still want to see a lot more out of him. And real quickly, NFC West, we still up there. Arizona, hey, coming off that loss to Green Bay, they're now 7-1. We're 7-1. 1-2, of course, they would have the lead over us right now because they did beat us head-to-head. But San Francisco, trash. Seattle, they just beat the brakes off somebody. 3-4 for the 49ers, 3-5. For the Seahawks, but hey, we're still right up there at the top, man, with a huge game against the Titans coming up. We're going to try to preview that game later this week, but anything else you want to add before we get up out of here, man? These 7-1 Los Angeles Rams.
But once again, we just see how important quarterback play is, even within our division or throughout the entire league. So, you know, it's about keeping our guys upright and keeping them healthy. This offense is ascending. Our defense is starting to ascend. You know, we don't want to be a one-dimensional team. We want to be a team that's whole, without offense, defense, special teams, making plays when we need to make plays. And it's about execution. Just going into this next game versus the Tennessee Titans, man, it's going to have to be on display. So we know what they want to do. They want to run King Henry, come in and punish you with this run. And we just have to make sure we get off the field on third down and pressure and put Ryan Tannehill in positions to make plays with his arm. And I think that bodes well for us. And we got to score points on offense. So we got to just keep this thing rolling. I like the way we're headed right now. And plus, it'll be a big weekend. I plan on being in L.A. this weekend, man, getting my ring.
Oh, yes,
it's going to be special Sunday night football, man. So it'll be a great time, man. See my guys up close and personal.
Oh, okay. You're going to the La La? What's going on
in
the La La? Is they honoring Isaac Bruce?
It's time to get that ring, Doc. We're getting the Hall of Fame ring, so it's my ring ceremony. I saw a couple of my classmates, Peyton Manning in Denver, Steve Hutchinson. He got his ring last night in Minnesota. So it's my time, Doc. I've been thinking about this for a while. November's hit. So this weekend, man, they would get a chance to get that ring for the very first time, man.
And how fitting is that? It's the Titans coming in to SoFi.
It's not my mistake.
I know it's not, because I was wondering. I just forgot to ask you. Like, damn, I see Peyton. I'm getting that little, you know, they getting that little ceremony. So perfect. Strike the air for 73 yards with 2 minutes left in the Super Bowl. So yeah, you coming back? Hey, and before we wrap up, I just do want to say, hey man, even though it didn't count, Dante Dion, hey dog, the perseverance. This dude gets cut and placed on the practice squad like every year. He continues to stay positive. He's activated, played on Sunday, came up with a gorgeous interception, dog. Now, that was had to be called back because the rookie did some hands to the face or something. But Dion, bro, the way he got up, hung in the air, and came down with the feet, hey, that was impressive, bro. I mean, that still should be a highlight. That should be considered for an ESPY, even though it got called back. That was cold, dog, but that was cold, bro.
It was an awesome pick, but it didn't count. I mean, we got to trash it, Doc. I mean, he's got to go talk to his boy Ernest, man, and tell Ernest, man, keep your hands down at pro football, man. Keep them out of the face. But, yeah, just an awesome play, athletic play. You talk about his perseverance, man. I mean, just keep grinding at it, and good things are starting to happen for him. So, and he's another guy that can learn from a Jalen Ramsey and just pick up little tips. And it may be with the Los Angeles Rams, may not be with the Los Angeles Rams, but at the same time, you make sure you're on the field making plays. And that was an awesome play, Doc.
It was, man. I hate it don't count. But, hell, I still know what my eyes saw. So, Dante Dion, it counts to me. But, hey, that's going to do it for another episode of Ramblings with Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. Until next week, probably Tuesday or something, because Isaac, who know when you coming back, man. Late flight on Sunday. We'll get together. But congratulations to you. We out.